Hey, what's up? Welcome to True North. My name is Justin. I hope that you're having a good week. I don't know about you, but it's been a little bit of a chaotic week around here. You know, it's been 2 months of quarantine now. It's May here in Pittsburgh, but it feels like November, which is interesting. And yesterday, I came downstairs, woke up, came downstairs to find a full-size grown duck in my house that had somehow managed to shimmy its way down our chimney and was wreaking havoc in our kitchen. So that was fun. I don't know what your week has been like, but you know, if you want to watch me catching said duck and then releasing it back into the wild, you can go to my Facebook page or my Instagram page and check that out there for a good chuckle or smile sometime this week. But I am excited that you're here in the midst of whatever chaos might be going on in our life. I'm so thankful that we have a God who is stable and consistent and who loves us and cares about us and wants to speak truth into our lives. And so that's why we're gathering today. That's why we gather every single week to celebrate him and to get some truth for our lives. I want to let you know today as we begin that this is going to be a difficult message. It's going to be a hard message. And it's a topic that is not popular in our culture. It's a topic that may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable and might cause you to have to kind of look at yourself and be real, and be, look inside your heart and your spirit and make some assessments about where you are. But I believe this with all my heart, that if we will do that, there could be some life change that happens today. We could begin to deal with some things maybe in our life that have been holding us down and weighing us down. This topic is something that even in the church, honestly, a lot of times it's not talked about anymore because we're so kind of afraid, I think, of offending people and pushing people away from Jesus. And even when it is talked about, it's kind of sugarcoated. We sugarcoat this issue, and it's the issue of sin. You see, the reality is that we have a sin problem. I just want to cut right to the chase today. We have a sin problem. You have a you problem. I have a me problem. Deep down inside of us, in all of our hearts, there is an evil. There is an evil that has caused us to destroy relationships. It's caused us to go through this life feeling weighed down and feeling just anxiety and depression and pressure and so many things, so many negative things that come out of this sin nature, really, that we have. And today what I want to do is I want to just look at how sin is impacting our life. I want to look at where it comes from. I want to look at what we can do about it because that's really what we want to know, isn't it? And I want to, more than anything, I want to talk about the struggle of sin. And that's the series that we've been in for the last 2 weeks. This is our second week now. We've been in this series called The Struggle is Real. We've been looking at the book of James. Last week, we began by kind of unpacking two boxes, if you will, right? Because we all have struggle, and they can all be, the struggles that we have can kind of be fit into two boxes. The first box is this box that is filled with struggles that we don't have any control over. There are things that seem to just come up and pop up at random. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to them, and yet we still have to deal with those things. And what James says is that we need to look at those struggles as a test. They are a test that God has allowed in your life, in my life, to make us stronger, to help us grow. And if we will have that perspective, we will grow. And our faith will be increased. Our perseverance in this life will be increased. And I think we all want that. But the second box, the box we're going to unpack this week, this is a much more difficult box to unpack. And these are the struggles that we face that we bring on ourselves because of our own sin. They are the result of our own decisions, our own poor choices, the evil that is inside our heart. And so this is what I know. The struggle of sin is real. It is real, and it is wreaking havoc on our lives. It is destroying our relationship with God, and it is destroying our relationship with people. But here's the good news today. It does not have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at James 1, starting in chapter 1 and verse 13, and look at what James has to say, because he has a lot to say here about this issue of temptation, this issue of sin. I'm going to look at from God's perspective, what is sin, where does it come from, and what can we do about it? And I've been praying all week that somebody would be watching this, somebody would be listening to this, and today maybe a light bulb would go on, maybe a switch would be flipped, that you would recognize, okay, I do have sin in my life. And even if you're a Jesus follower, that maybe you've got some sin in your life that you didn't even realize you had, you didn't even realize where it was coming from, and today would be the day that we would begin to deal with it, and most importantly, most of all, that we would recognize that our God has already dealt with it. If we will just allow him to infiltrate our life and to begin to change us and to do a work in us. So let's pick this up here in James chapter 1 and verse 13. This is what he says. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So first of all, James gives us this warning. He says, I want you to understand something, that when you are tempted, that is not coming from God. God does not tempt anyone, and he cannot be tempted. Why? Because God cannot be touched by evil. He is aware of evil. He knows what evil is about, but he is untouched by evil. In every sense of the word, he is good and righteous and pure and holy. And so he says, don't make this mistake. Don't make the mistake of believing that when you are tempted, that it is coming from God. When you are being tested, that can come from God, right? And there's a difference between a test and a temptation. A test is something God allows so that you can grow and be made stronger, but it will never lead you to sin. But a temptation is something very different. A temptation is something that will lead you to sin, that will lead you to make some really bad decisions in your life. And so if it doesn't come from God, then the question is, where does it come from? James goes on. He says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. He says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by what? By their own evil desire and enticed. We have evil inside of us, and the evil inside of us comes from, he says, our own desire. Our desire for us to get what we want, for me to get what I want so that I can have pleasure, right? That's where desire comes from. Inside of me, there is a desire for pleasure so that I can be fulfilled in my life. And what James is saying is that temptation comes from that evil desire, right? Temptation becomes powerful when we have an evil desire inside of us. You see, one thing we need to understand is that temptation is not a sin in and of itself, right? Temptation isn't a sin. Jesus was tempted many, many times during his life on this earth. So temptation is not a sin. The sin problem comes from inside of us. It comes from our desire. And then what happens is Satan knows that we have these desires, knows that we are prone to chase after some things that we think will give us pleasure. And so he puts a temptation in front of us to tempt us to go after that thing and hook us and get us to sin. You see, you know this to be true, whether you realize it or not, that temptation, you cannot be tempted by something that you do not have a desire for. Let me say that again. You cannot be tempted by something that you do not have a desire for. The temptation is not the problem. Our desire, our evil desire, is the problem. Think about this with me for a second. I have never been tempted by alcohol or drugs in my life, ever. I've never been tempted by those things. I have no desire for those things. And so when alcohol or drugs is placed in front of me, I'm not tempted to consume them in any way, shape, or form. Why? Because deep down inside, I don't have a desire for those things. And so it's not a struggle for me to say no to alcohol or drugs in any way. But if you set a bottle of Mountain Dew and a piece of chocolate cake on this table, even though I have had serious battles with addiction to soda and sugar in my life, I would be tempted by that because there is a desire somewhere inside of me that says, if I have that thing, then I'm going to be filled with pleasure. I'm going to have what I want. And so I don't care what the consequences are, I'm going to indulge in that thing. And you have those things in your life, whatever they are. There are certain things that you are tempted by, and there are certain things that you are not. But the temptation, this is the part I want you to grab hold of today. This is the truth that I believe could change our lives. The temptation is not the problem. Your desire is the problem. And what happens is that once we have that desire and we begin to chase that temptation, Satan will hook us and he will keep us hooked. And it is so difficult to get out of it. This is why we have perpetual sin in our life. There's a word here that I want to key in on for a second. This word enticed. James says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. That word enticed in the original Greek language that James wrote this in is this word deliazo. And it means this. It means to bait, right? And so there's this imagery of a fisherman taking bait, putting it on a hook, casting that line into the water and tempting a fish to strike. And once that fish strikes, it's over. That fish isn't getting off that hook without a really, really massive struggle. And from that point forward, that fisherman, he can just move that fish wherever he wants. He can reel him into the boat. And once that fish gets to the boat, that's it. He is done. In the same way, this is what Satan does to us. He recognizes we have a desire. And so he comes up with a temptation to get us to indulge in that desire. He figures out what bait will work best for us, and then he puts it in front of us over and over and over again. And we might let that bait go by a couple times before we strike. We might let it go by for a long time, but eventually we can't help ourselves, and we strike, and we get hooked, and then we end up in this cycle of sin. And what happens next, James says, is this. He says, then after desire has conceived, right? So once you have got this desire in your soul, in your spirit, it says it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. He uses this imagery of a woman who's become pregnant and she is conceived and that baby begins to grow. In the same way, he says desire is conceived inside of us and it starts small. It's just this very small thing, but every time we have a desire, if it is not killed and stopped, if it is a negative desire, if it's not killed and stopped, it will grow. It will grow and grow and grow until eventually, just like a baby is birthed, the baby is born, that desire will be birthed and it will be birthed as sin. We will strike that bait and we will make a decision that is destructive, not only to ourselves, but to our relationships. James is warning us. Don't take the bait. Don't chase the bait. It's not worth it. The problem inside of you, this desire inside of you that you have for whatever that thing is that you think is going to give you pleasure, it's counterfeit. It's not actually going to give you what you think it's going to give you. And so he gives us this final warning. He says, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He says, don't be deceived, guys. If you have a desire inside of you for something that is not good, it is not of God. Your heavenly Father is only going to put good desire inside of you. He uses this phrase, the Father of heavenly lights. That just simply means that the creator of the universe, the one who made the heavens and the earth and the stars and the moon, he is good. He does not change. His truth for your life, his wisdom for your life, it will never change. But your enemy, he shifts like shadows, right? He changes. He will do anything he can and shift and change to try to get you to take the bait. He will put false things in front of you. One thing over here that's different from this thing over here to try to entice you. Don't believe it. Don't chase the baits. And so today, here's the bottom line. As we get ready to close out this second week here of The Struggle Is Real, we have a sin problem, and it is having devastating consequences on our lives. And the root of that sin is not temptation, it is desire. And it is our desire that needs to be dealt with. And so here's the challenge that I want to throw out for us today. Instead of desiring those things of this world that we think are going to give us pleasure, we need to desire the things of our Heavenly Father. This is the answer to our sin problem. It is desiring Jesus above everything else in this life. It is only when we do that, that we will begin to be able to attack and beat and defeat the sin that is going on in our life. It starts with that recognition that the desires I have for those things are not going to bring me pleasure. Only when I have desire for my Heavenly Father will I really, truly have the pleasure that I am seeking. Why? Because that is how you were created. You were wired for desire. There's no doubt about that. Desire is not wrong. Desire is not a bad thing. Desire is not a sin. Desiring things that lead to sin, desiring things that are not of God, that is the problem. You were created to desire God and God alone. You were created to find your greatest pleasure when you are pleasing him and being obedient to him. And this is the shift, the mental shift, the heart shift that we need to make. If we want to stop living in that same sin that we just can't seem to beat, that just keeps getting the better of us over and over again, you have one. I know you do. I have them in my life. And maybe you're asking this question today. I have tried and tried and tried so hard to beat this thing, and I can't do it. How? How am I going to do this? How is this going to change anything? And the answer is this. You can't do it on your own. We have to recognize that today. You cannot defeat sin on your own. You can't. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17, where the writer Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, talks about this idea of walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. That we must desire the Spirit over the flesh. And the Spirit will actually help us to walk in his desires. I love what he says here. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you walk with the Spirit, if you're a Jesus follower, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. If you are paying attention to him, he is going to lead you in the right direction every time. He is going to give you the right desires, good desires. But he says this, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. In other words, you can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. If your desire for the flesh is greater than your desire for the Spirit, what's going to happen is you are going to go towards that desire every time. You are going to go to the desires of this world. But if your desire for the Spirit is greater, then you won't be desiring those things over here. They are in total opposition to each other. You cannot be both at the same time. You cannot desire the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit at the same time. You can only desire one at a time. And so what James is saying, what Paul is saying, is desire the Spirit, desire the things of God. This is what's going to bring you what you are really looking for, satisfaction and peace and contentment in your life. Sin will destroy us if we allow it to. Sin will destroy our marriages. It will destroy our relationships. It will cause us to lose jobs. It will cause us to become addicted to things. But the good news today is that there is an answer to the sin problem that we face. There is. Once and for all, Jesus said, I came into this world to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sin, because that is the penalty for sin. James says, sin gives birth to death. That's the penalty, whether we like it or not, for our poor choices and the things that we have done in life to go against a perfect and holy God. But this is the great news. This is what is so amazing about the gospel and what makes the gospel so beautiful is that in spite of our sin, in spite of all our messed up choices that we've made, in spite of the havoc that we've wreaked on our relationships in this world, Jesus says, I forgive you, I love you, and I am going to make a way so that you don't ever have to worry whether or not you are going to be in heaven with me for eternity. You don't have to worry about whether you are forgiven of your sin. If you trust me and make me your Lord and make me your Savior and believe in me, I will take care of it once and for all. You see, we all have sin, every one of us. There is no one in this world who is perfect. And so, I don't know, maybe you thought, like, God would never accept me for my sin. Or maybe you thought, I don't really have any sin. I'm basically a good person. No matter which side of the coin you're on, recognize this today. You do have sin in your life, but the beautiful thing about the gospel is that Jesus has taken care of it. And so, I want to talk to two groups here as we close. The first group are those of you who will call yourself a Jesus follower, who have put your faith and trust in him, who believe that he is the Savior of the world. Would you do two things with me this week? Would you, number one, would you just rest in the gospel? Would you rest in the glory of knowing that you are saved? That even though you have sinned over and over again, that you have certain sin in your life that just keeps getting the better of you, that Jesus has already taken care of it, that you don't have to earn your way to heaven. And I know that that's a challenge for so many people, because there's a lot of religions, a lot of people who've probably told you, no, you've got to keep doing all the right things in order to be right with God. And that's just not true. And Jesus says, I love you regardless of whether you keep messing up or not. But the second part of this is this. If you are a Jesus follower, you should have a desire for him now above everything else. Your old life is gone and your new life has come. And so if you continue to struggle with a certain sin in your life, I want to challenge you this week to try and break the cycle of that sin. How do we do that? We do it by attacking the desire that's inside of our heart. See, what we do most of the time is we fixate on the behavior, right? I keep doing this thing, and so I gotta fix the behavior. I gotta change this thing that I'm doing so that I stop doing it. But what we need to do is we need to focus on the desire inside of us. We need to ask the question, why am I doing that? Why do I think that that thing that I keep doing is going to bring me pleasure? Why do I think that if I change the behavior, that the desire inside of me will just go away? That's not how it works. We have to change the desire. And the only way we change the desire is by changing it out with a better desire. Right? Because we are wired for desire. And so my challenge to you is this: desire the things of God this week above whatever that thing is that you keep stumbling in and falling in. Ask God to show you the desire of his heart and to lead you by the Spirit to begin walking in a way, in a pattern that desires him above everything else. But then, second group, if you're not a Jesus follower today, I hope as you've listened, I hope as you've watched, you've heard a couple of things louder than anything else. Number one, you are loved, that Jesus Christ died for you, for your sin, and that you do have sin, and it's okay. It's not okay from the perspective of, okay, you know, it's okay that I have sin and God is, you know, okay with my sin. He's not okay with your sin, but he loves you enough to overcome your sin through Jesus Christ on the cross. And so I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you today. If you have never put your faith in him, believe in him today. He says, I will save you and I will begin to work on your sin. I will begin to help you with the things that you struggle with in your life. I will begin to help you with your marriage. I will begin to help you with those demons that you have inside of you that keep plaguing you and keep weighing you down. Following Jesus is a better life. I don't know how else I can say it. He is a better way. He will save you and he will help you to live a better life here and now. That is my prayer for you today. And my prayer for all of us today And so I'm rooting for you guys this week. I am praying for you guys this week. Your sin does not have to get the better of you. In spite of how many times you may have failed in that same thing over and over again, you can break the cycle. It starts with accepting Jesus as your Savior, and it continues as we recognize that our desire for Jesus must become greater and our desire for everything else must become less. Rooting for you guys, praying for you guys this week. Let's pray as we close out. God, I love you so much. I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy in our lives. I pray this week that you would be the center of our thoughts, that you would be on your throne as our King and our Lord, because you are a good King and you will never lead us astray. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that you want us to live a better life. And I pray today that you would help us to do that this week. We love you. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, we're going to listen to a song here in a moment. We're going to worship here to a song. I've been listening to this song on repeat in my car for the last several weeks. It's a song called Graves into Gardens. It's a new one today. And really, the heart of this song is this, that God can take anything dead and he can resurrect it. He can take anything broken, he can make it new. He turns graves into gardens. And so I want to challenge you right now, whatever distractions you might have going on around you, to put them away and to take a moment to focus in and to just worship God for his goodness, for the fact that he is a God of resurrection who wants to change our lives and who loves us enough to send his son Jesus into this world to give us a better life. Have a great week, guys, and we'll see you soon.